we're going to go through the book of Revelation. We're not going to go through it, but we're going to talk about and hopefully give you, kind of work through some tools that maybe can help us read Revelation better. That's my goal anyway. We'll see if that happens in the next half hour, which is a tall order, but that's why you read books and stuff, I suppose. Let's see here. Okay, so let's jump in. Revelation, right in the back of your Bible. This is a question that has caused many books to be written, many doctrines to be taught and created and thought through and argued about and all kinds of things. So I'm sure when we come to Revelation, all of us have some kind of starting point of some kind. We either have a freak out where we just avoid it, or we have a lot of beliefs about it. But sometimes, you know, it's always best to just get into it and let's see what it actually says. Here's the basics. The book of Revelation was written, a lot of people think, maybe around 90 AD. That's the late dating. Some people, not many, I don't think, would put it at an earlier date. But the book of John and 1 John, 2 John, 3 John was all written by the same guy who wrote Revelation, the Apostle John, the disciple in whom Jesus loved, as he referred to himself in the book of John. You know, he felt like him and Jesus were tight. And so it's interesting. He was basically, we think, maybe in Ephesus doing ministry and was actually exiled to the island of Patmos, which is, I think, maybe around 60 miles west of modern-day Turkey. If you're a geography person, you can correct me. But he was exiled to this little tiny island and just hanging out by himself because of his ministry on behalf of Jesus. And so John is just kind of wasting away on this island, and all of a sudden he has this vision, and we kind of get the immediate situation if we read Revelation 1, 9 through 11. So we're going to do that. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 to 11 says, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, 'Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea.'" So right off the bat, we see that there is an occasion for John to write this, that he was told to write down what he's about to see, and it was actually written to specific churches, you know, facing specific situations. And a lot of us probably heard a lot of sermon series on the Revelation letters to those seven churches. But then we usually stop after that because there's a lot of stuff that's hard, really hard to understand, really hard to give us something that we can kind of concretely hold on to. So then he tells us about the visions he saw. He shares with these churches what Jesus had to say to them. You know, this is where we get the letter to the Laodiceans. You know, you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, so therefore I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus wasn't very happy with them, but there were some other churches that he was happy with. You know, I can just imagine being one of the churches that got to read it before the Laodiceans, reading what Jesus said about them, like, they're bad, we're pretty good, though. You can just imagine, you know, maybe, I don't know. I just imagine if there were anybody like me, I would have been like, sorry for them. So there's three genres in the book of Revelation. We just did that, okay. Three genres: apocalypse, prophecy, and letter. So real quick, the word apocalypse means an uncovering. Basically, there's something that we didn't know and we're revealing it, or it's being revealed to us, an apocalypse. The apocalyptic imagery that is found in the book of Revelation is actually rooted in Old Testament prophecy. So if you read like things like Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, and parts of Isaiah, you'll kind of get the connection with what he's saying. So John's very much concerned with the Old Testament prophetic images and kind of showing how the Old Testament story is actually continuing on, and that what Jesus has done and is doing is a continuation of that same story. So he's very much concerned about that. In addition to being apocalyptic, it is prophetic, as we kind of went through that a little bit. In other words, not only does John share what Christ says acting as a prophet, but he tells them what will happen in the future. At least there's definitely aspects of both, okay? So it's a letter to a specific group of churches as well. So all of the aspects that we talked about last week with the epistles or the letters, a lot of those aspects are in Revelation. So it was a letter that was circulated to churches. So a lot of times we come to Revelation, and all these things we've talked about in reading the Bible and kind of some principles, like make sure you understand what it meant to the original hearers, and then from that we can kind of use hermeneutics to apply it to what we're facing today. Can it be applied to us? What does apply to us? We usually throw all those rules out when we come to Revelation. We're just like, well, it's just to us. It's talking about America and all these different things, and we kind of just throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you will, when we come to Revelation, because it's just so hard to understand, and we feel as though there's just new rules. With apocalyptic, there's definitely some of that, but I think we can come to it with a little bit more confidence when we look at it in that way. So the book of Revelation is at the same time a word of encouragement as well as a word of judgment. A word of encouragement to those who are in the church following Jesus, and a word of judgment to those who are not. Thinking through this, if these seven churches were facing any kind of persecution, which it seems as though they were, looking at who was in charge back then, the Romans and all that, let's say you're being persecuted, evil is being done to you in some way, we don't know. Would it be encouraging, or would it be comforting at least, to know that the people who are doing evil against you would get what they, quote unquote, deserve? I think it might be, yeah. I mean, we always want, we want to love people, right? Pray for our enemies. But at the end of the day, if they don't ever repent, right, then they will, in fact, receive that just judgment for, what they've done. And so there's definitely parts of that in here as well. So the images in the book of Revelation, I want to get into some of this. The difficulty of reading the book of Revelation, I think, occurs when we start seeing these images that John is explaining, that he sees in heaven as a vision. We read about numbers, we're trying to figure out the numbers. What does this mean? What does this mean? Clothing, dragons, beasts, trumpets, and more. So you think of like a fantasy novel, and you're kind of, you're seeing some of those aspects. Dragons, beasts, four-headed beasts. It's some crazy stuff, right? And it just kind of, at least for me, causes me to think, wow, this is just so above. Like, we're reading all this stuff, these very, straightforward, for the most part, letters. And then we come to the book of Revelation. It's like this whole other thing, right? So the following are six images in Revelation that are interpreted from the book. And so I want to give you those, so that you can kind of have that as a little bit of a rock, to kind of put your flag down when you're reading the book of Revelation. In chapter one, we see some images. One like a son of man. If you read through that, that's referring to Christ. And so I think some of these, maybe you can write these down and maybe put in a bookmark when you're reading through the book of Revelation. Golden lampstands, that's the seven churches. The seven stars, the word angel and messenger are very similar, so it's depending on how they're used, and we're not really sure. The seven angels, seven messengers of the churches, we just don't know. Are there angels for the churches? Maybe. Are the messengers? For sure. Somebody had to, take the letter to them. You guys got those? The great dragon in chapter 12 is Satan. It actually says that right in that verse. The seven heads. Now, this one's interesting. The seven heads and the seven hills. I know this isn't very helpful, but the seven heads are the seven hills the woman sits on, as well as seven kings. And so it's a kind of a fluid image. I remember reading what the who the woman was. I'm trying to think about Israel. Is I believe kind of what commentators are believing the woman is. So the seven hills that Israel sits on, and then the sixth one, the prostitute, which is the great city Rome, which a lot of that, you know, facing Roman persecution, that's kind of the big power, if you will, that's persecuting them. So it's called the prostitute, the great city of Rome. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of, you know, just like, all right, I can have this figured out a little bit when I'm going through the book of Revelation. I'll leave that up here for a second. But when it comes to reading Revelation well, we must approach the imagery in the correct way. And I think a lot of people approach it in an allegorical way, like every little detail has, you know, either has to come, the prophecies have to come in the exact same way as it's shown in the book of Revelation, or every little detail has an allegorical meaning to today or whenever that's being fulfilled. And that can sometimes get us into trouble. So I think instead of us thinking about them allegorically, we're better off taking them as a whole and looking at the big details. So what is this vision as a whole saying? Right? What is it saying as a whole? And then we can kind of maybe fill in the details a little bit. So here's the thing when it comes to imagery in Revelation. What we are reading are pictures. They're visions. Maybe better yet, paintings, if you will. Because our cameras are really good. Like, we can take a picture and you pretty much get the idea. I know that, like, when we went to out west, a picture doesn't do anything justice, right? But let's maybe think of it as a painting. I saw this kind of used as an illustration from Robert H. Stein in his book, A Basic Guide to Interpreting the Bible. And I thought it was helpful. So I want to show you two different pictures, two different paintings, from two different eras of art. Okay, first is going to be a 15th century art piece, and it has this, you know, style, right? If any of you are into art, there's different ways to do art. There's realistic, there's what is it called? Abstract, and then there's like some things that are in between, right? And so you're going to see this in these. So, oh, I didn't put them in here. All right, well then I'll just show you from here. Let's see here. Aha, 15th century art. So you can see, like, when you look at that, that looks pretty realistic, right? I mean, that's pretty detailed. If you zoomed in, you could, I mean, that looks pretty good. It's really fantastic, actually, as far as a realism of art piece. But then if you look to the 19th century and kind of how art was being done then, you get something much different, right? Now, if you zoomed in on certain pieces, like if you're right here, you don't know what the heck you're looking at. But if you zoom out and you look at it as a whole, you're like, okay, I can see what's happening. They're talking about something, or he's looking intently about something, right? Now, the two different art pieces are very different, right? But they're pictures. They're pictures with different purposes. And I think maybe, and he made this argument, I think I agree, that the images we see in the book of Revelation, sometimes we think they're like this, but maybe they're like that. Where when we are in the midst of looking at the images very up close, like, look at that real close wise, and you're just not sure what you're looking at, right? But then as we start to look at the image and the whole vision as a whole, we start to get a little bit of clarity. But it's hard for us to do that because we get bogged down in the details. We don't keep reading. We read about, you know, four-headed beast, and we're like, whoa, what is that? And then we read about a book that talks about how the four beasts are, you know, one of them's America, one of them's, you know, modern-day Russia or something like that, and we're like, oh, what, hold on. And we get bogged down in the details when, in fact, if we started to zoom out a little bit, just keep reading, we're like, okay, I kind of see this. can kind of see this. I don't need to know all. Why did he use that color? But if I start to zoom out a bit, it all becomes a little bit more clear. It's certainly not bringing out a picture like this. Because when we're in the details of this, we can, well, that's an eyeball right here. Yep, okay. A little crown, jewels a little bit. So we can get in the nitty gritty of this and kind of see what we're looking at. But not so much on this one. So I think maybe that is a framework of thinking about the images in the book of Revelation. I guess I just want to give you permission to not know all the details. Okay? It's okay.
It's helpful.
Yeah. So I think maybe it's more like the 19th century art rather than the 15th. And what I would like is for us to kind of hand out, this is an imperfect, but useful, hopefully, yeah, outline of Revelation, the book of Revelation. Okay? It's imperfect. It's not perfect. But it might help, okay? It might be useful. I just want to kind of go through a little bit of this together. And then from here, we're going to dive into, I believe, four different chapters in the book of Revelation. We're going to read those together. And so we're going to kind of go through this outline fairly quickly and just look at it. So here we go. Chapter 1. We're seeing, now again, don't take my word for it. Take this outline home and compare notes and see if you think I'm right, okay? Now, I stole this, okay? So if it's wrong, you tell me. But I did change it a little bit.
It's wrong, this too.
So, chapter 1, Christ's glory, wisdom, and power. Kind of acknowledging who he is, okay? Then we move on to Christ's authority over the churches, where we're seeing the seven letters to the churches in modern-day Turkey in the region that is, you know, what was the region called? What was the region called? Yeah, modern-day Turkey.
Back then?
Yeah.
Well, there's a bunch of little, smaller Roman provinces.
Yeah,
so.
I had a brain fart. Anyway, modern-day Turkey. Look at a map. That's where it was.
Asia Minor, we usually call it.
Yes, Asia Minor. That's what I was thinking of. The glory of God in the throne room. Chapter 4 is an amazing picture of what the throne room of God looks like, with angels and elders singing and praising God. It's pretty amazing. And so we go from Christ's glory and power to his authority over the churches. Then we see God getting praise and honor. And then we see the Lamb who is slain being worthy to open up the seals, to open up the book of judgment, and that is Christ. And it's interesting, Christ is compared, he's shown as a lion as well as a lamb. He came in power, but then he gave himself up as a sacrifice. And he is the one who is worthy to open up the book of judgment. And then we move on to, now this is very overarching, okay? So this isn't perfect. Chapter 6 through 18, to call this the wrath of Christ is poured out upon the earth. That's kind of what is happening. Okay. And then we move on to Christ returns to judge his enemies and to reign as Lord over all. And then at the end, my favorite, probably my favorite chapter in the Bible, Revelation 21, And the end of Revelation is showing us that Christ rules over the new heavens, the new earth, that everything that we see that is broken in the world, everything that they saw is broken in the world, when they looked out upon the earth, when they looked at their situations in their lives, they were assured that this is not the end, that in fact God is going to make everything new, that there's going to be no more pain, no more tears, no more hurting, and everything is going to be made new again, including us. And so that's kind of a little bit of an overview of the book of Revelation.